CliffCentral.com.
All right, we're here. Huh. Excellent. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, my buddy Malloy.
Good morning, Gareth Cliff.
What's happening with you?
Ugh. I'm wearing sand.
Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Oh. Oh, darling. I am wearing sandals today, the first time in months.
Are they Jesus sandals?
No. These are wedges, like wedge sandals.
Oh, wow. It's all open on the top and everything. You're very brave.
Well, this is what I was thinking this morning, is I'm going to brave it. And so far, not feeling too cold, hey?
Looking good. Yeah, you know what? I think it's... I saw 11 degrees on the temperature gauge in my car.
Yeah.
Outside temperature, 11 degrees, which is a whole, you know, considering 6 the day before, I think we're doing all right.
Yeah.
Looks like things are really warming up, and I don't want to jump the gun because you know August has always got some kind of sting in the tail. There's always that last week of August, which is why I always say to my mom and dad, my birthday's in August at the end of it, and I always say, ah, thanks so much for choosing the most wonderful month to have me in, because it's shitty. I hate August.
Ugh.
It's always windy and, you know.
Look, it's better than June, okay?
You think?
Yeah, June is far colder than August, usually.
I don't know, but there's something about being in winter. Like, August, you're not really in winter. You're in a bit of limbo. Because the temperatures are a little higher, but there's that wind. And it just destroys everything. Big day today. We've got a couple of things happening. We've got someone called Mpo who's going to meet us just now. He's standing in for Ben on the sport. We've got PJ Powers popping in a bit later on. That's going to be fun. Lots to talk about. Flax is also off on his... what's it called? What do you call the kind of holiday that you're going on?
I'm going on Jewish camp.
Jewish camp. Please don't say that. Can't we call it something else?
But it's a bunch of Jews on a camp.
Yeah, that's...
But what do they actually call it, Flex? Because this is all happening in Italy, right?
Yeah. It's called Summer U.
Okay, that's better. Because I get very nervous when people say Jewish camp. It's like when people say... this is a housing area just for blacks. Yeah, you kind of get a little bit worried that maybe we're taking a step backwards into the past, if you know what I mean.
Well, when I say some of you guys are going to be like, well, what is that? And now, then I'm going to have to say it's a Jewish camp.
No, but now you've explained it. And please, wherever you can, avoid during the course of this camp.
Very excited, though. Not looking forward to the flight.
Yeah, is it a long flight?
I think I fly to Dubai. So how long is that flight? 6 hours or something? Mm. 9 hours?
Mm.
And then from Dubai, I go to Rome.
About 7, 8, as far as I can remember. Yeah, but it's easy. The Dubai flight's usually at night, so you sleep.
Yeah, I think my flight is around about like 5 or 6. Okay. And I've chosen an aisle seat so that I don't have to disturb someone each time I want to go to the bathroom.
Otherwise, you get up a lot?
No. Like, sometimes you like to go pee, and you never want to, like, feel guilty or have to time your pee according to the random stranger next to you, because you have to basically jump over him. So I like to take the aisle seat. I'd rather him wake me than I wake him. There's more freedom in the aisle seat. You can go when you want.
That's true, but I kind of like a window, because then I can make that my little space, and I don't have a person on both sides.
Don't you feel trapped?
No.
I feel trapped by the window.
Well, everybody has their preference. I'd always rather take a window than... And I also want to see what's going on outside when we land and everything else.
For what's that, like 3 minutes of your journey? Of an 8-hour journey?
Yeah, but you see, you've got a little bit of... If you lean to the left or you lean to the right and you're at the window, it gives you a little bit of extra room.
Yeah.
In terms of width, which you don't get. If you're on the aisle, you've got those goddamn trolleys coming past you the whole time. You've got people pushing... They're bound to bump you as they go to and fro. So if you're trying to sleep, it's hell on the aisle. I'm telling you, that's a bad move.
But which is worse, the aisle or the middle seat? Because the middle seat people...
Middle seat's horrible.
They don't really have any land, do they?
No, it's terrible. They've got no land.
They've got
the armrests, right?
Yeah.
And the armrests are meant to belong to the poor fucker in the middle.
Mm.
But usually... There's someone territorial on either side, and they're going to try and claim some of the armrest as well. I mean, the least you can do is give the poor guy in the middle the armrests.
You see, I believe with armrests, it's first come, first serve. So whoever's
you're the kind of person
there,
I'm going to fight with on a
plane.
Yeah,
and as soon as the other person moves their arm, you quickly take it. Yeah. Same with movies, same with anything with armrests.
I hate guys like you, because then if I'm unlucky enough to end up in the middle seat, you've got little enough space as it is. It's not like you could put your seat, you could put your arm into the window sill as it is, or into the aisle if you feel like it. All you've got is the middle seat.
Mm.
You've got to either tuck your arms in, which is tiny, no matter how small you are, or you've got to have the armrests. I say give the middle seat guy the armrests.
Both of them.
Both of them. Let the guy at least, he's got the worst life in the world. He's got the most miserable existence. Give him the armrests. No?
Maybe they should just put in more armrests then, that each person gets two.
That
will decrease space.
Yeah, you see that they have figured out to the millimeter, absolute millimeter, how little or how much space they have on a plane.
I suppose a whole bunch of calculations had to be
big
taken
time
into play.
Remember, if they can squeeze one extra person on, that'll decrease your fuel bill. It's very important. This is why they have to fill a plane. You'll find airlines will do all kinds of gymnastics to be able to accommodate an extra passenger or two on a plane. They hate having empty planes because it means they're going to squeeze their margins.
I once read an article about an airline, I think it was Virgin,
yeah,
that they decided to take one olive out of the salad for first class. So instead of having like four olives, they would have three.
Yeah.
And it was saving the company like $1 billion a year now. Such a small little thing.
Well, if you think about how many planes are in the air at any given time and how many airlines there are in the world that operate those planes, and, you know, most of them are profitable, there are a lot of ways to make and save money when you're in the air, and that's why every centimeter costs. So if you build two armrests, you're effectively decreasing the size of the cabin by, I mean, you're almost putting in another seat. You know, you're gonna lose a seat, and you've got it. Those aisles are exact width. It's just big enough. I mean, you've seen those catering trolleys that come through.
Yeah,
are a very specific size on all planes, and you can't make them even a ball hair wider because it's not gonna fit.
You know, I love how a ball hair has become your standard measurement.
Well, it's such a small distance.
Yeah,
that's what it's a tiny distance.
I was wondering the other night, how do they coordinate planes? So, like, I'll have a plane taking off here, landing in Japan. How does Japan know to make that runway clear at that time and, like, coordinate that stuff?
It's scheduling. It's the most incredible scheduling.
But, like, how are we all linked, though?
Well, first of all, Flax, you've got all the airlines have to book a certain amount of spaces and times at each airport. And that's why, because there'll be a delay and then the whole schedule gets moved on, you know. So they have to be flexible to a degree. So they'll probably give themselves a little wiggle room somewhere in the schedule so they can accommodate an extra flight in or a late flight out or whatever. But it's all very well worked out. There are people in logistics and operations at airports that are, these people can juggle a million different things at once.
But what about when...
And they've got systems. You know, thank goodness we've got computers now.
Yeah.
That figure stuff out for us as well.
Will that even figure out when the plane's in the air? Because then I was thinking, how do they not fly into each other when the air's, like, just open? It's free.
Well, yeah, when you close your eyes and the thoughts start to bubble through your head, it must be like a garden of wonder. Be like this exciting place where all these potential answers are just waiting to come into your head. I mean, I love that you're curious. That's why I find, I find you intelligent and interesting. But they do have plans for this stuff. It doesn't just happen. You know, not everybody takes off and they just fly at whatever height they want. They're different heights.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have different lanes on the highway. Except you're in three dimensions, not just two. You know, on the highway, you only have, let's say, four or five lanes going in the same direction.
Yeah.
In the sky, you've got a couple of lanes at the same level, but then you've also got above and below. And what they try to do is they try to set, and you have infinite amount of space because you can go up seven or eight lanes and you still won't be near the lane of another plane.
Yeah.
You can go down a couple, but essentially it's all coordinated too by air traffic control. And they say one of the most difficult jobs in the world is to be an air traffic controller. These people get, I think they get, for every week that they work, they get a week off. Because during that time that you're in air traffic control, and those are the people who control which planes are coming into land, which planes are taking off, which planes are circling around the airport, those people have a hugely stressful job because one little mistake and people die.
You know, I'll never forget the time when we were flying into OR Tambo. And the wheels of the plane got stuck and they wouldn't come out.
The wheels on the plane got stuck inside.
So we couldn't land, Flex. So what the pilot decided to do was to kind of circle around until they could figure out how to get these damn wheels to pop out.
I think they also do that to burn fuel so that if you do crash, there's not a massive explosion.
No, trust me, in this case, this wasn't...
In this case, we really couldn't land actually, until the wheels came out.
Sometimes have you ever heard of Occam's Razor?
Can I answer the phone call then?
Yeah,
reply?
I think you need to listen to this.
So, I mean, the poor air traffic controller hadn't, you know, he didn't have that in his schedule that day. But all of a sudden, there's a plane that can't land, so do something about it.
He had to make a plan.
to make a plan. And make sure that they don't crash into anyone while you're figuring out the plan.
Exactly. Hey, Pashida.
Good morning.
What's happening with you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. It's Tuesday morning. I'll tell you what's on the lineup today. A little bit later on, and you can figure out what you would like to add to your smorgasbord of fantastic content on cliffcentral.com today. All right, Flex. So Occam's Razor, just to get to the point. If an explanation is simple, it's usually enough. Don't look for more than what there is. So if the wheel won't pop out of the plane, maybe it's true that the wheel won't pop out of the plane.
Yes.
Not that you also have to fly around to burn off fuel in case you have to crash land and kill everybody and burst into flame.
That would be Occam's Razor.
Now, Occam's Razor will tell you to go for the simplest, most logical explanation every time. It's usually right.
Where's the origin of the word Occam's Razor?
There was a bishop called someone of Occam, Geoffrey or John or something of Occam, and he basically figured that... the simplest explanation is usually the correct one. Why complicate? Why add stuff that is extraneous, that explains more than it has to a very simple situation?
That's my new word, Occam's Razor. In all situations, I'm just going to be like, bro, Occam's Razor, let's just do that.
Right. There we go. And people will think that you're a genius. Let me just double check that I haven't screwed up this definition, and then we've got to get to news.
Oh, can we just take Simba's call?
Oh, sure.
He's on Skype.
Okay, let me get to Skype. Give me a second.
I haven't said hello to him, so it's
going
to have
to go
straight.
Hey, Simba, what's up, brother? Simba? Is he on there?
He should be on, yeah.
Simba, you there?
Oh, wait, he dropped it. Let me call him back.
Okay. So here it is. Occam's Razor is a principle from philosophy. Suppose there exist two explanations for an occurrence. In this case, the simpler one is usually better.
Okay, so you had it right.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness. I was very nervous. I fucked that up.
You know.
Another way of saying it is that the more assumptions you have to make, the more unlikely an explanation is. So this is not the favorite philosophy of conspiracy theorists.
No.
Hey, Simba, what's up, brother?
Hey, how's it going, Gareth?
Good, man. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Southern California.
Nice. SoCal.
Yes, sir. I'm a little bit bummed that you didn't make it down here when you were in San Francisco.
I'm sorry, man. Southern California is probably one of the coolest places in the world. I mean, you've got great weather. You've got fantastic people. You've got an unbelievable economy. It's like the sixth or seventh biggest economy in the world in just Southern California. You got movie stars.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
You got beautiful houses. You've got wine. It's just everything that anybody who's made it in life wants is in SoCal. So are you loaded with cash or are you trying to make it?
I'm trying to make it. So I'm originally from Zim, obviously, as you can tell from my name. I moved out here about 10 years ago and just working and working, just like all the Zimbos and South Africans all around the world.
Well, I'd just like to say again, because a lot of people don't seem to understand this, that one of the reasons that we try to kind of talk about Zimbabwean issues and we try to get as many Zimbabweans on the show and all the rest of it as we can is because Zimbabweans, everywhere they go, they're making an impact. And really, there is such a diaspora of Zimbabweans across the world, right? I mean, you probably know you probably know some other Zimbos in SoCal.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of us out here. And then what's funny is there's a lot of South Africans here as well. My favorite restaurant's actually a place called it's a place called Mozambique in Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
It's a little restaurant that a South African family opened up, and it's one of the best. It's one of the best restaurants in all of Laguna Beach.
Yeah, that could be a little bit confusing. A South African family opened a Mozambique in Laguna Beach,
and a Zimbabwean keeps going there. No, that shows you. I mean, like, you know, we've got more in common with
Zimbabweans. And Zimbabweans go there every Sunday to listen to reggae music.
See, we have more in common with Zimbabweans and Mozambicans than we do with Californians. But Simba, Mabali wants to know what do you do and what do you look like, because she wants to move to Southern California for a little bit.
Well, you know, my heart was a little broken, Mobs, the other day when someone said in another life, you know, maybe the two of you could have carried on. But I think I'll take him up on that first. I specifically wanted to call the show to speak to Mobs.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well,
you know,
here we are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's there for you. She's single at the moment.
Soothing voice. it helps my morning every day.
Oh, nice. Thank goodness. I always thought that I had a bit of a screeching voice, but that's good to hear, Simba.
No, it's but yeah, you guys
Simba, are you overweight?
And,
tell me the truth.
Love the show.
Are you overweight?
No. A little bit by Zimbabwean standards, yes, but by American standards I'm pretty thin.
All right. Okay. What do you do?
So, Mobs, what do you say you and me go to Mozambique in the next couple of weeks?
Absolutely, Simba.
Fly her over, then she'll talk.
Let you and I carry on this conversation on Skype, just between the two of us.
All right. All right.
All right, just one other thing. What do you do in Southern California?
I sell medical devices, so I sell them all across the southwest of
That's
the country.
That's not exciting.
So.
That's not exciting at all. You should have said I'm a stunt double in all Tom Cruise's movies.
Yeah. My job isn't nearly as sexy as you think it should be. But funny, what I used to do that was really cool. I worked for Tesla for about a year. That was really fun. It was really exciting. But you know, what I do now isn't nearly as sexy.
You ever
it's okay.
Ever see Elon Musk walking around?
I've met him once at a Christmas party, and he is way taller than I expected him to be.
Okay. All right, dude. Well, listen.
He's a pretty tall dude.
Next time anyone is in Southern California, whereabouts exactly are you? San Diego?
No, I'm about an hour north of that in Orange County.
Okay. If you're ever in Orange County, head over to Mozambique and you'll see Simba drunk at the bar.
Yeah, for sure. But hey, thanks, guys. I love the show. And thanks for doing that Zim show with those guys. You know, it's really nice to be able to catch up with what's going on in Zim. And you're like the best portal to that.
Do me a favor and spread the word, because it's the one place all over the world where Zimbabweans can get together and talk about each other's stories and kind of hear what's going on back home. So, you know, you don't need an FM transmitter powerful enough to reach the world. We're on the internet, so everyone can join in.
Yep. And you are 10... You're 10 years ahead of the curve in regards to media in South Africa.
Don't say 10
years. Thanks for what you're doing, man.
Don't say 10 years. If you say 10 years, it means I've got to wait 10 years to make money.
No, you're so far ahead. Keep at it, man. You know, you're way ahead of a lot of guys that are here in the States, too. I mean, what you're doing is really fantastic.
What do you listen to besides us?
Actually, you know, you brought him up. I listen to Adam Carolla quite a bit.
Yeah, he's good, huh?
He reminds me you guys are very similar. You're just kind of you're just a lot more intelligent version of him. he kind of did the same thing. He left FM radio in 05 or 06 and just started podcasting, and then you know, took off from there.
He's like best friends with Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, he is. He brings him up all the time. But yeah, I mean, you're like I said, I feel bad because, or you should feel bad because I don't listen to nearly as much Corolla as I used to because of you.
Oh, nice. All right, bro, listen, we got to get to news. My buddy's getting agitated with me. Thanks.
All right, Mubs, I'll see you later,
bye,
girl.
Simba.
Bye-bye, Simba. There we go. She's got news to do, man. Come on, let's not mess around. Here's what you need to know.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. It's new.
I like it. Okay, so the Minister of Higher Education, Blade Nzimande, was giving feedback from the meetings that they, as the commission that was appointed by the president to deal with the fees must fall issue.
Yeah.
He said that universities have raised concern over possible retrenchments should there be no fee increase for 2017. The minister said the universities have the issue of dealing with the implications of whatever action taken to in relation to the matter, and that is why we are in discussion and sharing the report. The report itself does not point out that what would be the consequences of the fee increase across the board, and they said that they are looking into these things. Now, in the meantime, the WITS SRC are demanding a moratorium on all university fee increments, Gareth. They released a statement yesterday. The student body said that last year, during the Fees Must Fall protest, which then became a national movement, they took to the streets of the country to firstly call for the free and quality education, secondly, to put an end to exorbitant fee increments, thirdly, a commitment to the realization of insourcing at various institutions across the country. I don't know if you noticed yesterday that the hashtag Fees Must Fall Reloaded was trending yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So it would seem that students in this country, you know, they are adamant about what they want.
Look, two or three things here. You know, I support the right of students to stand up and be heard. I also support the right of more people in South Africa to be given access to tertiary education. But let's be fair. Yesterday we heard roads must fall or, you know, fees must fall reloaded or whatever it is. Which they're all related to the same kind of movement.
Sure.
There were a couple of statistics that came out. The first one is that if we do not increase fees for another year, universities will fall, full stop. We won't be able to afford any tertiary education whatsoever. There is, sooner or later, you run out of other people's money.
Sure. Well, you know, that's why the minister was saying yesterday that people will have to be retrenched at universities because as it is, they're struggling just to keep the lights
now,
on.
Now, if you do this to a university, if universities don't have money, guess what goes first? Research, international partnerships, exchange programs, all the stuff that keeps you competitive on an international level. They sacrifice all of that to be able to feed and accommodate poor students, which is never a bad thing. To try and balance both is not a bad thing. I'm not saying you should have either-or situations. But if you keep cutting the amount of funding a university has, and remember, a lot of alumni aren't giving as much money to universities anymore because they see the universities and they see protests and they hear about the next important figure, which I was about to get to, that between 60 and 70% of students never finish their degrees.
That's a very high amount.
That's what I heard last night.
Never graduate, never complete it.
Now, why should you subsidize? Why should anyone, why should the government pay for people who are going to go to university? They're going to get free accommodation and let's say they get their books and all the rest thrown in because sometimes these are the deals that you would get if you're a student who can't afford this stuff. Basically, they're just giving you a place to stay and something to do during the day. And you're being subsidized for your student job in the evening or whatever it is, and you're not getting your degree. I don't see how anyone should pay for that. If you don't get your degree, you should have to pay back everything. That's what happened with me. I didn't finish my law degree. I had to pay my parents back every goddamned last cent.
Pay back the money. Has been in existence.
Pay back the money.
Long before the EFF made a trend.
Mm-hmm.
One of the counter arguments that I heard by the students yesterday is that part of the problem is that money is being mismanaged. And if money was managed better, then more of it could be funneled to the universities, and then that would help alleviate the problem of universities struggling just to keep the doors open. So how do we feel about, initially in the beginning, some students getting free education, and then those who can still afford to pay continuing paying?
This is also, doesn't seem right to me that if someone can afford some or all of their fees, that they should be paying the full price.
Mm.
And other people who can't afford it should be paying no price. Then what you're really saying is that not everybody's equal. And if you can afford university, we're going to milk you. And if you can't afford university, oh, we'll help you.
But currently, the argument is that those who cannot afford to go to university, for them, they feel that that situation is unfair and it's not equal. So what must happen to them? They must just fall on the wayside. It's a difficult...
I wouldn't want to run this.
It's a difficult situation, and we need to keep a very close eye on how all of this unfolds.
And the worst part is I don't think Blade cares. I don't think Blade is that invested in finding solutions. Like, Blade seems to me to be like, he's trying to hang on by a thread because he's clearly not in the Zuma camp anymore. So he's out of favor. He's got to have an exit strategy for himself, because if they do reshuffle the cabinet, he's going to be one of the posts that goes. So he hasn't got skin in the game. He doesn't care if students get a good deal or not. And he doesn't have allies. You know, the SACP, it's like being president of an automobile club on a desert island where they don't have roads.
All right, now, Archbishop Emeritus Nonjonkulu Ndungani, he is on the Commission of Inquiry into Higher Education and Training. Mm. And part of what he suggested was that government and the private sector should come up with a comprehensive plan to solve the problem. So, which raises another issue. How do we feel about bringing the private sector into this as a possible solution?
Well, the private sector geared to making profit. So, if you're going to bring them in, they're going to tell you, well, You've got to make this thing profitable.
Otherwise, we're not interested.
And if the private sector are brought in just because they have corporate social responsibility stuff, then good luck to you, because they're not going to give that up for nothing.
This is far from over, and I think at least the concern that was raised by the Archbishop is that government better be ready to deal with the consequences that may unfold in the latter part of the year. You'll remember that when Fees Must Fall first started, it began right at, like, towards the end of the year, right?
All right.
So we need to keep an eye on what the next plan of action by the students is going to be, because they are adamant and they're not backing down, and I don't know if government are prepared to deal with the wrath of the students.
No, I think we're between a rock and a hard place, I'm afraid. All right, let's meet our sports anchor for the morning. And we were introduced to Mpo by Ben. So let me get him on the microphone here, and you can tell us a little bit about yourself, Mpo, before you tell us about the sport. How are you, bro?
I'm good, thanks.
You good?
Yourself?
Hey.
Looking after yourself? He was waiting outside the door this morning, and I thought, oh no, here's one of these people who wants a job. You know how they... Yeah, we sometimes have people. So I said to him, can I help you? And he was very polite, and he's like, no, I'm here.
Were you rude?
No, I wasn't. Was I rude?
No.
Okay. So I said to him, who are you here for? He goes, Ben. So I'm like, oh, Ben's in Thailand. Bye-bye.
Okay.
He goes, no, I'm actually, he told me to come and meet Greg. So I said, well, Greg's only here at 9. Mm-hmm. So come in and sit down. And I just showed him into the office area here. Turns out he's our sports guy, but, you know, I'm always the last to know, or else I did know, but I'm useless at remembering.
But, I mean, look, it's absolutely fine. I understand. I totally understand. And just to put it out there,
yeah,
you were not rude, you know?
Okay, good. Rude. Thank you. Well, I'm happy to hear that. Now, tell us about yourself. Where are you from?
My name is Mpo Mtembu.
Mtembu. Okay, yes. Got you.
I'm from Devland, you know? That
okay.
is in Soweto.
I got
just
you.
A street away from El Dorado Park.
You've got some radio experience. You've done, what is it?
I was a sports anchor at UJFM for the past, two, 3 years. Yes, I did a bit of interning at SABC at some radio station at SABC.
Which one?
That is 5FM.
Oh, you were at 5.
Uh-huh.
Who did you work with there?
With Thomas.
Hmm.
On the radio. On the
Sangana.
Yes.
Who did I speak to over the weekend? I had such an interesting conversation. Who was it? She called me and said that she needed to talk about something. Doesn't matter. I'll get to it later on. But yeah, mm-hmm. I like Thomas. He's a cool guy, right?
Yeah.
So what did you? Because on that show they talk about a lot of sport. It's a weekend show. And all
yeah, that. I was actually shadowing his producer. Wow. Oh. I was his director. What is this?
All
right. Anyway, I was shadowing his producer for 2 months. I actually am a Boston Media House graduate.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So that's how I got about.
All right, so he's got some media experience, Mubs. We're not dealing with a rank amateur here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then I guess all that's left is to, you know, have
give you the sport. Yeah.
Take it away.
All right. So listen, here is Mpo What did you say your surname was?
Ntembo.
Ntembo. Ntembo, who is going to be our sports anchor for the morning. Ben discovered him somewhere, and they started talking. And he said he'd come and stand in for Ben on the sport this morning. So, Ntembo, take it away. What do we got to know this morning? It's a Olympic fever, right?
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, look, wait, can I just start off by saying good morning in the morning?
All right, go ahead.
Yes, we kicked things off with, can I just do this, kick things off with football news. I mean, look,
yes.
it's good news for Chelsea fans, you know, after following their 2-1 win over West Ham United.
Nice.
Yesterday. This was the first match of, this was the first official Premier League match with the new manager, Antonio Conte, in charge. So Eden Hazard opened the scoring in just a little after the second half, and that was before James Collins equalized in the 77th minute. But Diego Costa came through to Diego Costa came through to save the day with an emphatic strike in the 89th minute to give the edge to Chelsea over West Ham United. And with regards to Chelsea's performance yesterday, I only got to watch the highlights. I mean, look, I come from this area that hasn't had electricity for the longest time, so I haven't been able to keep up with what's been happening.
So where do you watch
sports? This morning when I woke up.
Okay.
Yeah, I got we had a sense of electricity, so I got to catch a bit of highlights.
What do you think of this new coach?
The Chelsea new coach. Look, it's a bit too early for me to actually say really what I think, but I think I'd say the team is quite good, even though yesterday's performance wasn't that convincing. You know what I mean? Because if it wasn't for the penalty, it would have ended in 1-1, which would have been a draw.
What else do you need to tell us football-wise?
Germany. Yesterday it was bad news for German Football Federation, because Lukas Podolski, one good player, you know, Lukas Podolski announced his retirement from international football, bringing an end to his glittering 12-year career. You know what I mean? Yeah, Podolski just retires as Germany's highest capped player with 129 appearances, behind only Lothar Matthäus and Miroslav Klose, having scored 48 goals. So he's in the top 30 most capped international German players.
All right.
You know what I mean? So yeah.
But is this a real retirement, or is he going to pull a Messi?
But I'm just thinking, it's a real retirement. I mean, the guy is 31 years old, man. You know, it's just
that's so old. Finish.
He's 31 years old.
Wayne Rooney's 526, but he's still playing. All right. So Podolski, I mean, this guy was kind of a hero of the last World Cup in some way.
In some way, yeah. I mean, he was an unused sub, but he was there quite some. He was there.
You know, I think it was the previous World Cup, even. I think it was here in 2010.
2010.
Such
an
important
player. You know what I mean? So he's 31 years old. So I think it's about time he just pulled the curtain to his international career. So still on football. Yaya Toure.
Yes.
Yaya Toure is 33 years old. The Ivorian spoke to his agent, Dimitri Saluk, that he plans to fight for his place in the first team of Manchester City. This comes after he was, you know, put on the sideline by Pep Guardiola, the new Manchester City coach, in Saturday's narrow defeat against
Yes.
This was the first game. Okay, yeah, and I'm having technical difficulties there. Technology is just having me right now.
What do you need?
My screen just went off.
Oh, my God. What a mess.
Yeah, no, it's a bit of a mess. But he's set to be put on sideline again against on Saturday's match against... in Saturday's match... he was put on the sideline in Saturday's match against Sunderland, And that's run.
All right, let's leave football alone. Let's talk about the Olympics. Everybody wants to know what's going on with the Olympics.
In Olympics, we have men's tennis. Gold medal, Andy Murray of the Great Britain beat Martin Del Potro by 7-5, 4-6, 6-2, and 7-5. And in another match, that was for the gold medal. And in your bronze medal match, Kai Nishikori of Japan beat Rafael Nadal of Spain 6-2, 6-7, and 6-3. Your South African... still in tennis. Your Maria Sharapova.
Yeah, what about her?
Maria Sharapova was actually the first time Grand Slam winner Maria Sharapova was banned in June for 2 years for doping offences, and she may be allowed to return in January, according to Russian.
Oh wow, they're going to let her back.
Yes, I don't know whether to say this is good or bad, but she's definitely gonna come back. The TSA news agency quoted Tapishev as saying Tapishev is the CEO of the TSA. Of the TASS, you know, it's quoted him as saying everything will be decided in September. It is impossible for him to say for certain, but he thinks that she will start playing again. Now, the 29-year-old former world number one was suspended following a positive test for the banned drug Melodium during a January Australian Open. For some weird reason, she was named in the Russians' official entry list for the Olympic Games in Rio 2016, but the Court of Arbitration for sports decided.
You hear that, Mubs? Maria Sharapova may make a return. What do we make of that?
Well, whatever.
No. I mean, this comes after she was, you know.
All right. Has Costa run yet? Costa Semenya?
Costa Semenya.
I mean, what's happening with that? Does anybody know for sure? If you're listening to us now, maybe you're an expert in this kind of thing. You're watching the Olympics. In and out the whole time. Let us know.
Well, I think they her heats begin tomorrow.
All right.
Mm. And the big final will be on Saturday, as far as I can remember.
Yeah, and that will be also the closing days of the Rio 2016 Olympics.
I see that, by the way, a lot of people still talking about the horrible outfits that our athletes have to wear at the Olympics.
Okay.
There's a picture of Chad Leclos and Phelps and the dude from Hungary all standing on the podium. And they're all, I mean, he looks like he's wearing a tent, a shapeless tent. It's the most horrible looking outfit I've ever seen in my life. It's very, very disturbing that our athletes have to look so shitty. And I think that the South African Olympic body, whatever it's called. What's the guy's name? Sascock. But what's the dude's name at the top of that?
Isn't it Gideon Sam?
Over this. If this doesn't get him fired, then nothing ever will. All right, here's a message from Ben. Thanks, and Paul. That's a look at the sport. Here's a message from Ben, who's in Thailand.
Hey, he's alive.
He's alive. He's sending us messages every day to prove that he's okay.
Hey guys, a little hello from Thailand. Everything's going well. I'm still alive. This place is very happy. It's been an amazing week so far with the Olympics. I'm so bummed that I missed all those things. In our hotel room, there's about 1,000 channels, none of which showing the Olympics, so I'm watching everything on Twitter. There is 24 hours a day of two bulls fighting, though. It's the weirdest thing. Like, literally, you turn on this channel and they're just fighting all day.
Listen to this. It's just a bull, two bulls fighting over and over again.
This isn't bullfighting like the Spanish. There's two bulls just literally horning each other all day, and there's about five guys watching. And there's a 24-hour channel. Okay, the bulls are currently just locked at the moment. They're just sparring all day. So yeah, I'll try to check in again soon if anything else interesting that comes up. But yeah, otherwise, having a nice holiday, missing you guys madly, and all that stuff. Chat
there
soon.
We go.
Bye.
All right, there's a quick update from Ben. Isn't it bizarre that in Thailand they wouldn't have the Olympics on one of 1,000 channels, Ben says, but they got the stupid bullfighting going on. It's madness.
Oh, gosh. Each to their own.
Yeah, let's check in with Anthea Gardner, see what's going on in the money markets. You know what to do. You've got to get out your your share portfolio. If you don't have one yet, we may have an answer for you as to how you can get involved in the stock market. All of that with Anthea Gardner now on CliffCentral.com. Let's just get a proper song going here.
Yeah, please. This is a professional operation.
Yeah, sorry. A little confused. There we go.
Why say we let such a letter and the gata touch a letter?
This is her theme song, obviously.
Why say we let such a letter umutware hante? Anthea, why say we let such a letter and the gata?
Hey, Anthea, what's up?
Good morning, Gareth.
Morning.
The market felt a bit heavy yesterday, I must say. The all share index was down almost 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly it was driven by global economic factors. So yesterday Japan's GDP growth number was lower than expected, 0.2% when we were expecting 0.7%. And then on top of that, data showed that the stronger yen is hurting their export markets. Of course, you can imagine, not great. And also we had some weak economic data out of the US, which meant more dollar weakness, and this continuation of the search for yield theme, pretty much all emerging market currencies were stronger. The rand, 13.29 to the dollar yesterday.
Yeah, this rand continues to do amazing things, and we know that it's because of the global conditions. It's not entirely rand based. It's just one of those beneficiaries of an unstable Britain, an unstable Europe. There's lots of factors playing here, right?
Yeah, and weaker dollar.
Mm.
It got as low as 17.03 to the pound yesterday. It's back now. It's 17.15.
Uh-huh.
But testing that 17 level almost, eh?
And under 15 rand to the euro.
Very comfortably below 15 to the euro now. Oh. So yeah, very interesting. I mean, of course, the currency didn't help any of our resource stocks and or the market in general for that matter. Anglo Gold reported yesterday, but the share was down 5% despite a fairly decent set of results.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Anglo Gold's production numbers were a bit disappointing, but generally speaking, headline earnings per share was up 160% for the first half of the year. And they've done well. They've managed to reduce costs. I mean, cash costs per ounce of gold is now 3% lower than it was last year this time. I'd say they're performing very much in line with what we were expecting. So it's a shame that the share got punished yesterday.
Right.
And then a sector that's just really not making sense. In fact, it seems to have caught fire is this construction sector. Group 5 reported yesterday, also their first half of the year numbers. Profit rose 64%. But this, again, some of it to do with how they're managing to keep costs lower, but also they've got a lot of toll business in Europe, which has definitely boosted their earnings. The share was up 2% yesterday, and this is one of those, in the last 2 years, the share is down 40%, but since its January low, it's gone from 14.50 to 24 rand a share today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, 65% move higher, although, let me just keep perspective here, in 2014, this was a 45 rand stock, so, even though it's had a nice bounce of late, over the longer term or medium term, I should say, it's probably struggled a bit. And also, it's such a tough decision, right? Do you buy into the sector now? Like, how do you convincingly buy construction shares when we're sitting on 0% GDP growth?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I think if you were invested in this stuff already, you can benefit from it now while it has a little bounce, but I don't think you'd want to buy in, right?
Probably a bit too late. And of course, just to annoy me, Avend was also up 4% yesterday.
Yeah.
It's one of those, it's too late to buy, and then it carries on up. But
yeah. At
some stage, I think it's probably likely to have a pullback when the reality sets back in, right?
Absolutely.
And then lastly, Blue Telecom put out a trading statement yesterday. They've said that headline earnings per share will be between 20 and 22% higher, which is...
Is that
also,
what, Blue Label Telecoms?
That's right, yes. Not a bad number, double-digit growth, but this is one of those shares. It's been trading under cautionary for so long now. And then there's a question around whether or not the acquisition of the 30% stake in CellC will eventually close. Mm. I mean, if it does, it's hugely earnings accretive. The share's kind of expected to go much higher. It's a share that's already run 95% in the last year, so it's had a really good run. it's trading around 1765 at the moment, but mm-hmm. It's kind of binary, isn't it? If the deal goes through, it's likely to be a 25 Rand share. If not, I imagine it'll fall back quite dramatically. So quite a bit riding on this deal with Cell C.
Okay. So would you advise to buy or to just stay away?
It's so speculative, Gareth. It's a punt. If you're in the mood for a short-term kind of punt and you're prepared to take the downside as well as, you know, at the risk of upside, then go for it.
Okay.
But really, it's not one of those that I kind of look at and think, oh, yes, I must have this in my portfolio for when I retire.
Gotcha.
Not just yet.
All right, Anthony.
And then,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so all eyes on the UK this morning. They're due to publish some inflation data. And I think this will be a really good indication of the impact of the Brexit vote. You know, with the sterling falling so much lower so quickly, it's likely to have a push higher on the inflation number. I see Asia's a bit nervous ahead of this today. Market trading negative, volumes very low. So we'll see. Wait and see, as we always do. Huh?
Very good.
We know what's coming. Just what's going to happen.
Absolutely. All right. You'll keep us informed and you'll tell us when it's time to hop on or hop off of any of these shares.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Have
That's
a good
what we
day.
Do. Thank you, Anthony Gardner, with the look at the markets this morning and the money shot every day at about 6:45. CliffCentral.com. I hope you're ready to start your Tuesday morning. It's 10 away from 7 right now, and we'll take your calls 0861-555-189. Simba called us from Southern California just a moment ago. And remember, we're taking calls from all over the world, so you can also get us on Skype. Cliff Central, one word on Skype. Is that right, Flex? Cliff Central, one word?
Cliff Central Studio.
Oh, okay. When did that change?
It started off that way. It didn't change.
So I just had it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. That happens sometimes. All right. And you know what you do is you call in and it gives Flex something to do so he doesn't sit on the other side of the glass looking at me. Makes me uncomfortable. CliffCentral.com.